We want to look and focus in on your word. And we really need to hear from you. We don't need to hear from man. We need to hear from you. Because the things that you say are life-bearing. They lead us to and reveal truth that we need to walk out during the week. So, Lord, we hone in on you and your heart today. Give us exactly what we need in a way that we'll understand it, and then empower us with strength to walk it out. Anything less than that, we start deceiving ourselves. So, Lord, we want to be spot on with what you're doing and what you're saying. Amen. Well, I have to tell you, my wife and I have been part of the not only the body of Christ for a long time, but the part of the government of the church, with being on staff and leading and guiding. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen up here. I was thinking as I drove home last week, I wonder if I really communicated what the Lord put in my heart. And it was confirmed when I edited the sermon to put it on Grace Talks. So what was once a 55-minute sermon is about 3 minutes. And you'll enjoy that. And I just cut out all the things I shouldn't have said. So it's a shorty. It's a devotional. But thinking about that, this happens all the time. This is actual material that churches have actually printed in their bulletin by mistake. You won't believe these are true, but they are. These are some of my favorite. I'm just going to give you a few, okay? This way I won't feel so bad. In the bulletin it said, "Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help." Another one is, "Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community." That's an honest church. And then there's this one, "For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. The rosebud on the altar this morning is to announce the birth of David Allen Belzer, the son of Reverend and Mrs. Julie Belzer." I think they meant to say son. You just never know what's going to happen. So this might help some of you to really take a closer look at the bulletin that you have in your hand and see how we're doing. "This afternoon, there will be a meeting in the south and north ends of the church. Children will be baptized at both ends. This being Easter Sunday, we will ask Mrs. Lewis to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, what is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice." I'm sorry. You can't even write material like this. But I think my favorite one, and Barb's going to start laughing when she hears it, is actually a church we were on staff of. Lucky for us, we weren't there. This had happened about 5 years before we arrived. But in staff meeting, they told us a true story, and they actually showed it to us. It was a community letter to help introduce not only the church in the area, but also an invite for them to come and start with the first service. And so what they wanted to say to the community, 4,000 letters, was, "Come and take a peek at our brand new sanctuary this Sunday." Except one of the letters fell off or something, and it said, "Come this Sunday and take a pee in our new sanctuary." I've been reviewing my notes today. I want to make sure there's no communication issues. Last week, we started talking about the old nature. This is what we were born with. And there's a scripture, you don't have to show it, but Romans 6:6, that helped us to understand not only the old nature, but what's going on with it. And Romans 6:6 says, "For we know that our old self," or old nature, "was crucified with him." Can you say amen? Amen. "So that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." I am so thankful that the Lord knew that I needed him and died a criminal's death for me so that I would no longer have to be ruled by my old nature, the old appetites, the desires, the things that it focuses in on, the things that are opposing the Holy Spirit. I'm no longer a slave to it. If you don't need what Christ has done, then you're walking in religion. And it's man's attempt to try to earn acceptance, trying to be powerful enough to be in control of something that they're not, which is their old ways. We want to look at our new natures in Christ, the new man, the new self. So let's turn to Ephesians, and let's go to chapter 4. And let's start at verse 22, and I'm going to read for several hours here because all of this is good. So get rid of your old self, which made you live the old self that was being destroyed by its deceitful desires. Your hearts, your minds must be made completely new. And you must put on the new self, new nature, which is created in God in His likeness. It will reveal the true life that is upright and holy. No more lying then. Each of you must tell the truth to other believers, because we are all members together in the body of Christ. If you become angry, do not let your anger lead you into sin, and do not stay angry all day. Don't give the enemy or the devil a chance or an open door or an open gate. If you used to rob, you must stop robbing and start working in order to earn an honest living for yourself and to be able to help the poor. Do not use harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up and promote what is needed so that what you say will do good to those who hear it. And do not make God's Holy Spirit sad, for the Spirit is God's mark of ownership on you, a guarantee that the day will come when God will set you free. Get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger. No more shouting or shouting insults. No more hateful feelings or all of the assort. Instead, be kind and tender and tender-hearted to one another, and forgive one another as God has forgiven you through Christ. Ephesians 4, 22 to 32, the end of the chapter. So as you and I can see right away from God's word, we have an opportunity to no longer be a slave or in bondage to how we once lived or what we were born with. Before Christ, there was a complete separation between our heart and His. Even on our best day, the Word says that even in our best, it's as filthy rags when we stand before Him. There's nothing in us that could impress Him. There's nothing in us that would help us finally get in to His graces, because the Scriptures also tell us our salvation, our relationship with Him is not based on our works. It's not based on amazing, unconditional gift, the free gift that He gave us, that love that He has for us that's drawn us into Him and His family. And so today, it's said to put off or get rid of the old nature. Well, how can we do that? How many have felt the old nature in you, even though you've been a Christian most of your life now? How many have felt it? Okay. Biblically, we've got the old in us and the new in us, and they're in opposition. How many feel that? If I understand the Scriptures, and I was searching this week, it brought me to this measurement. When Jesus looks at us, He doesn't see sin anymore. We do. What He sees is what's missing, because the sin issue has already been taken care of completely with His obedience on the cross. He was the ultimate lamb suffered sacrificially for us. He was the complete atonement for you and I to deal with sin now, which means we deal with it by allowing us to be forgiven in Him. Now, is there still residue of the old spirit, the old nature that's in us? Yes. You see, if the old nature was still in us, then we'd still be controlled by it and a slave to it. But He said, you're no longer a slave to it. Why? Because I've taken care of it. It's covered. Now, what you're going to deal with as a believer that feels like the old nature, it goes into your thinking. It's part of your human body, the flesh. That's what the Word of God says. This is flesh, and we're going to be out of this flesh one day, and we're going to be out of this body, and we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. And the new work, the new heart, the new nature that's in us is going to go up out of this body. So you and I are already living eternal lives in Him. We've already started on this side. The old nature will be left, or I should say, the residue of the old nature, the thing that we battle with every day, those old attractions, the old addictions, the old desires and feelings and motives, all those things, it's become a memory point in our brain, and if we feed our thoughts, we're going to start acting as though the old nature is still living as a believer. Does that make sense? So you're no longer a slave to the enemy's open gate, which is the old nature. You have been freed. I said you've been freed. The good thing about freedom is it's given, but we need to do something with it. Just like temptation, that word, that definition in the word that talks about being tempted is not good or bad until we choose what we're going to do, on what side. Are we going to give in to it or are we going to resist it? Temptation is actually a good thing if you want to know where your heart is and to know where you need to grow. We talked last week, and then in James it says, don't blame God that you're tempted because He doesn't tempt you. He doesn't try to trip you up, put a little bait there and go, let's see if he really falls, and then he's going to cry out to me, and it's going to be a great week. He's going to stay close. He doesn't do that. If he does anything, he continues to give us what we need and continues to give us good things, just like a father and a son, but a good father. But it does reveal when we are tempted what we can't see, and temptation comes and it starts to draw out the things that are still in us, residue of the old nature that we need to deal with. That's a good thing. I don't want to be blinded. I don't want to not know what's happening, nor do I not want to know what's in my heart, because if it's in me, it's going to come out through my behavior, my thoughts, my intentions, and it's going to keep me from the best things of why I have breath in these lungs today to do. So temptation is not good or bad. It depends on what you do with it. If you feed it, yeah, you're going to have that. Bingo. But if you resist it, you're going to grow in your faith and your spirit grows. That's what He wants for us. It wasn't enough that He just took care of the sin issue. It's not enough that He took care of our old nature, the thing that once trapped us. We have to now replace it with what He's given us. And that, in the Word, even says that you're actually a new creation. You're totally different. You still have your flesh. You're still going to wake up and want coffee, the devil's cup. And you're still going to go to work and have difficulty working hard and coming home, getting tired. And it's just part of this world, and it's part of who we are and where we are right now. When I accepted Christ to come in, He gave me something new to operate out of. But I still have to deal with the residue of my thinking that was once controlled by the old nature that He blasted out of me. So it's not old nature, it's really old thought processes. If you want to change and you want to deal with, let's make a new habit, how many know that's a real war? Boy, sometimes you do really good and then sometimes you take five steps backwards. Sometimes you get up and you do better. It's this war. Why? Because we've got to have a change of thinking, which will change our behavior. In this case, we need to change thoughts. The Bible calls it to have your mind renewed. Romans 12:1-2, it says, based on the first 11 chapters, all of that, I want to come to you and say, do not allow yourself to be what? Conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. So if you want a definition, literally, when they use the word renewed mind, it actually means this: to adjust my thinking to the wisdom of God. Can you handle that? That's what we need. We don't need to adjust our thinking to the brilliancy of man or the top author this week. We need to adjust our thinking to the wisdom of God. And where do we get that? The Word of God. James even says, when you look in a mirror and you see your reflection, don't turn away. See it, look at it, and allow God to cleanse your face or to wash the dirt off. If you just see in the Word of God what you need and do nothing about it, it says you will be deceived. You walk away deceived, which really means you're walking away continuing to live in a lie instead of the truth. The truth said, you need to grow here. You need to cause the things that I've given you to become in your thought process so it actually changes your behavior. It changes how you do life. It changes how you worship. It changes how you pray. God has so much for us. In fact, He's already given it all to us. It's just that we haven't grown in it. We haven't applied it. And we're still operating with a new system, operating system in us, but we're operating out of the old residue of our old nature. That's why it's still available. What you feed comes alive. And the one thing that you feed will cause the other to starve. So it's a two-way, step one, step two. So what we feed, either the old residue or the new creation, the new heart, the new nature, that will grow and it'll start to starve the other. That's great, but the problem is it will work both ways. How many times have you and I found ourselves going through a pretty tough week or month and we've been feeding the old stuff and we wonder why we're so negative? We wonder why we're so down, stinking thinking, you know, all that stuff. It's because we're feeding it. It was already taken care of on the cross, but we've allowed to go in our memory banks, in our thoughts, to go, wow, when I used to feel this way, I used to go to the bar. When I felt this way, I used to just want to be entertained. All that stuff's still there because it's in your thoughts. So why should it be shocking that when the Word of God says He wants to renew your mind, that means you actually have a change of heart because you've had a change of your thoughts. It leads you to the new nature. Why are we shocked that it works? It's there. It's there. So today, we need to take a look at some very practical things so that when we leave here, we can leave with a reset mind. We can leave with a heart that's focused where it needs to be. And out there, we can begin to operate in what He's already given us. But did you forget who you are? He doesn't just show up because I'm in church. He shows up in me because I'm part of the church. We are the church, and He's the head. We're many members, but He directs us just like the head of the body. He guides and directs us, and everything we need comes from the authority of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, and his love for us. He already knows what we're going to go through, so when he speaks, he's going to speak through the new nature. It's going to be the activator of where he is in my life and what I need in my life. It's going to come out of this new heart, this new nature that we get to grow in. See, he's already given you what you need for what you're facing today. It's in your new nature. It's all there. He just wants you to present your thoughts and your thinking to be renewed so you know what you have and where it is and how to operate in it. So the new nature is very important. Galatians 5. In the fifth chapter of Galatians, this is a wonderful, wonderful book to help you understand the difference between the old nature that he has crucified and the new nature that he's given you, and why it feels like it goes back and forth on which one is stronger. It's going to help us here, all right? Hopefully this answers some questions. The first verse in chapter 5 says, "Freedom is what we have. Christ has set us free. Stand then as free people and do not allow yourselves to become slaves again." It says, "As for you, my friends, you were called to be free, but do not let this freedom become an excuse for letting your physical desires control you. Instead, let love make you serve one another." Wow. That means my old nature, the residue of it, was all about me. Everything. The new nature that he put inside of us is about him. And then because it's about him, it helps us to see the others. Old nature, it's me. Me. I'm on the throne. He's on the altar. The new nature, I'm on the altar as a living sacrifice, and he's on the throne, and it's about him. And when it's about him, he allows us to see not only what he's given us to do, but he gives us the power to reach others, to help others, to encourage others. It's all about others when you know his heart. Our heart, it's about us. Read, Timothy 3 talks about the condition of the last days and man's heart are going to be very conceited. And it just goes on to this list and it says, they will hold on to a form of godliness but deny its power, which is Jesus. And guess what that scripture is talking about? Christian leaders. It wasn't talking about the world. It says, in the last days, man's heart will grow cold. They'll be envious. They'll be conceited. They'll be looking for pleasures rather than godliness and holding on to a form that makes them look good, but denying Jesus, denying the power of Jesus. So you can see here that we have been freed. The freedom came basically on the third day after the crucifixion. That's when officially he conquered death, sin, the grave. He was the antidote for the poisonous heart that we were born with. When you think of poison, you think of a deadly disease, lethal. We were there with our old nature. He loved us so much. He sent his son Jesus, who didn't have a sinful nature, an old nature in him. He was flesh, but he had the new nature in him because it says he never sinned. He never had to deal with sin until he was placed on the cross for our sins. But get this. He loved us so much that he wanted to come and bring the antidote so we would no longer be slaves with our old nature and sin. So that means he came fully God, fully man, and he did that so that he could physically die for us. He couldn't die as God. He had to become flesh. He had to go through the things that we face without sinning. And then on the cross, the Lord said, "My son will be the final and complete sacrifice for not just the sins of you and I, but the sins of the world and those to come. He will take care of the whole sin issue." Can you imagine what it must have been like in the thoughts of Jesus, because he was flesh? What it must have been like when, for the first time, he felt sin. Because it says that the sins of the world were placed in Jesus. If he had just died without the sin, it just would have saved him. He didn't need that. But because he loves us so much, he encountered your sin and my sin. Let that sink in. Think of all the crazy things that have happened through the heart of man in this world over the, you know, the history of our world. The great evil plans and revenge and nation against nation. And was it his? No. But it was his love. That was some of the turning of what was going on in the garden before he was arrested. Lord, let this cup pass. It's not that I wasn't worried about death, because I'll just be with you physically. It was that all of a sudden he knew why he was there. His whole life he knew. It wasn't a mystery. He wanted it to pass because you know why? It wasn't even just the sin. It's the byproduct of sin, which is separation from him to his Father. He didn't want to be separated. Sin would cause that for 3 days. I think that was the turmoil, don't you? But he did it because he became the antidote. Because he's flesh and God, he became the sacrifice, and now he's the antidote. So now, to get rid of the old nature's effects on us, he needed to bring now this new heart that represented the new nature that has the antidote in it. So it wasn't just putting off the old, it was putting on the new. And now that's taken care of, the old nature. And now we have everything that we need, and we also include having him with us in here. So where you and I have to grow is in our thinking. We need to change our mind and be renewed, to adjust our thinking to the wisdom of God, to see what he's doing, to see where we are, and start living out of that instead of feeding the old. So you understand, we have freedom because of what he's done. But no longer use your freedom to go back to the old residue of who you once were. It's available, but don't. You're wasting time. There's no question where it's going to lead you. You can still get arrested as a Christian. You can even have a Christian lawyer. Why don't we use our time now to no longer go back, but why don't we enjoy the freedom that we have to go forward in him and grow? The more you know, the more you grow, the more you understand truly what has been given to you. You will not know it unless you walk to say, "Lord, I want to walk in this. Teach me. I have it, but help me to apply it." Because when we apply, it starts pushing out the old residue of the old life, and it puts in the new nature, the new stuff. It's already there. You just have to let it flush out your old way of thinking, because it's your thinking, it's my thinking, that I will access the old stuff. So really, the enemy does not bother to try to get you out of relationship with Jesus. He can't. You know he's a defeated foe. The cross tore his teeth out. All he can do is lick you to death. I don't know. Gum you. He still makes quite a roar. But I'm no longer impressed with that. I once jumped. The enemy is a created being. He's not the opposite of God. He doesn't scare me. I've been covered in the blood. My sins are forgiven. And then the Holy Spirit lives in me, so I can walk around with not my power, but the dunamis power, the dynamite power of the Lord. And it lives in us. Let's go to the next part. In verse 16 of chapter 5, it says, What I say is this, let the Spirit direct your lives, and you will no longer satisfy the desires of the human nature. And what the human nature wants, these two are enemies. So it doesn't mean as a believer, if you do these things, you're out of the kingdom of God. It means you're not going to be producing the things that the kingdom of God wants to produce in and through you. And so that's a very important thing. We want to be known as His, and we're now operating out of His kingdom, not the enemy's. We have been transferred from the kingdom of a darkness into the kingdom of a light, so we are citizens of Him. Let me find a place to land. That was the introduction. Just kidding. Almost. I want you to picture a powerful horse that is probably 1,600 pounds. I don't know. They probably weigh at least that. But a real big one. And he's tied to something. And he's in check. He knows he can't move. So he just stands waiting for his master to come back to untie him. And he'll stay there all day because he knows that he's tied to something. He is tied to something, but it's a plastic beach chair. And he's thinking to himself, I'm tied to something, I can't move. I've been that. I have walked a life like that. Where, as the word would say, I've had my freedom, but I didn't walk in it. And my identity had more to do with who I thought I was instead of who I am in Him and what He thinks of me. And I have been in check. I didn't move. Well, I can't do that. There's a great analogy of this freedom that I just spoke of. There was this magnificent bear in one of our national zoos, and there was a petition to release this bear. And so they finally came with the order to free this bear and to cage it and bring it into the wild so he can be where he was created to be. Great story. The interesting thing is, from its birth, he was always in this cage. And so when this cage was brought down into this area that they chose for him to now live, they released the hook from the crane, and the press was there, everyone was there, and they were waiting for this bear to open the door and enjoy his new surroundings. The only problem was he just looked at the people like he did every day of his life in the zoo. And then sometimes he would get up and just walk the very shape of the bottom of the cage. And so he did that. And so someone hollered out, he doesn't know he's free. So someone very brave walked over to the cage and opened the door and ran. And the bear just continued to look at the people and just walk the bottom shape of the cage. So someone said, take the walls, take the walls. So they unbolted the walls of the cage, and all that was left was the grid on the bottom. They lifted up the walls, and this bear just continued to walk the shape, the grid of this cage, totally free. But his thoughts had him as a captive. His thoughts said, this is a cage that I can't escape from. And he had freedom, but his thoughts kept him from being free. Lord, what a great time to talk about this, because we deal with this every day. And what a great time also to talk about it, because today is about water baptism. And the good news about water baptism, it's the very thing we just taught on that's found in a symbol to show our new nature, our new freedom in Christ. Lord, today, would you help us to understand fully that we've already been free. We already are free. We no longer are a slave or in bondage to our old life, our old ways. They have been dealt with because of your sacrifice. And if that wasn't enough, you actually replaced our nature with the very nature of God in us. The only thing between those two is our understanding of what you've done and then to walk it out. Would you help us with our residue, our memories, and would you help us to take them captive to the obedience of Christ so that we no longer are influenced, guided, or even the suggestion of going to the trash and getting our old nature stuff out again? Would you stop us in our tracks? We ask for your help to move forward in not only you, but who we are in you. We ask that you would help us move today from where we once were to where we are going with you. We adjust our thinking to your plans, your purposes, your ways. Activate your new nature in us. Activate all that we need to live this life, to walk it out, so that others will see lives that are transformed. Not religion, but lives that are transformed by the good news of Jesus.